This edition of Giving Them the Business is brought to you by Jazzfell Analytics, a premier name in data analysis. Jazzfell helps organizations like yours collect, analyze, and use data in order to make better business decisions. You can find Jazzfell on the web at www.jazzfell.com. That's www.jazzfell.com. Welcome to Giving Them the Business with Mondo Lee. Today we're honored to have as a guest Mr. Andrew Frazier, the author of the book Running Your Business Like a Pro. The more you know, the faster you grow. Welcome, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mondo. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to appear on the show. I read your book and I was immediately impressed with the wealth of knowledge that's in there, but we'll get into that a little further as the show progresses. But let's start with you telling us a little bit about yourself, just some background that you'd like to share with us. Where you were trained in terms of your business skills, where you were raised, that kind of stuff.
Okay, great. Well, grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, home of the Steelers. So I got to hang out and actually see them win many of their Super Bowls, which was great. And my first business actually was in fourth grade with my brother. And we had a paper route, delivered paper 7 days a week. So we got a chance to learn, many of the key aspects of business at a really young age, which was a great experience and opened my eyes to business in a different way. Also, my grandfather had a dry cleaning business that's been a family business. It's actually lasted about 90 years now.
And, oh, wow.
And then my mom's been instrumental. She was a real estate agent, insurance agent. So I got a chance to learn a little bit about those businesses as well. So, great.
So it's fair to say that you come from a long and distinguished tradition of entrepreneurship. Is that right?
I'd say a tradition. We've had a tradition both ways, but I've had a lot of exposure to entrepreneurship and understanding of what it's like and how it can benefit you and your family.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You mentioned the paper route, which I guarantee you, if you did a survey of a lot of successful business people, they started out with a business like a paper route, which unfortunately probably isn't that much of an option anymore. Something like that where you can actually run it and get your feet wet in terms of running your own business.
Right, and especially that at that age, because right now you can't even work at that age, but. Like you said, I run into a lot of successful people who are like, "Hey, I had a paper route too." So it's definitely a common theme around successful people or people. It just gives you a level of experience and knowledge at such an early age that you carry with you throughout the rest of your life.
Right, and that has to be invaluable experience at such a young age that carries with you through the rest of your life. And, I just don't think you can underestimate the value of that type of exposure, when you're still in your formative years.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus you learn the value of money. So because you start buying your own stuff and, you can think about what it took to get the dollar that you're spending. And a lot of people don't really understand that till much later in life if they fully understand what dollar.
Yeah, if they ever understand it, So yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So after Pittsburgh, did you go to school in Pittsburgh or where did you go after that?
Well, actually, I was really good in math and science and had an opportunity to attend MIT, where I studied mechanical engineering and had a ROTC scholarship. So when I graduated, I served as a U.S. Naval officer and actually had a business in college, too, a t-shirt media company with my brother. And we actually hired friends at other schools, too. We did a lot of retail selling.
I mean, I laugh because I had a t-shirt business in undergrad as well. It was like during the late 80s where apartheid was like the big issue. So we had a anti-apartheid t-shirt business that was made a decent amount of cash for us on the side. So that's always a good hustle.
Actually, we were doing it right around that time, and we did have one of those shirts, too. And, you know, it was great because I always had money in high school and in college. And that was from working to have a business. I think one day we sold $2,000 worth of shirts, which was a lot of money back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's better than any of our single day totals. So hats off to you on that one. So while you were at MIT, what did you make? You said you were good in math. Were you more on the engineering science side or were you on the business side there?
No, I studied mechanical engineering. So more on the engineering. And then my focus was manufacturing. So it has a close tie to business and systems and operations, which really helped to make it a good transition. But at the end of the day, engineering solving problems, business is solving problems. It's just engineering problems are usually longer term problems to solve.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. The skills that you developed in mechanical engineering are, I think, are definitely transferable to actually running a business. So that's something I like to point out to a lot of younger people who are considering their major is that you don't necessarily have to end up doing what you major in. As long as you develop transferable skills, you can probably do a lot of different things once you're ready to go out there.
Yes. I mean, most people end up not working in what they studied. But the most important thing I picked up from college is I learned how to learn. So there's nothing I can't put my mind to and not figure out if I'm willing to make the effort. And that's really what's key in this environment because you have to continually be learning.
Right, right. And after MIT, I believe you did go on to get an MBA. Is that correct?
Yes, I got an MBA. But first, when I graduated as a U.S. Naval Supply Corps officer. So I actually got to run all the business functions for a ship. So I got a chance to run the retail, food service, pay everybody, repair parts. So that sort of started my transition to business. Because I really enjoyed the job and what I did. So when I got out, I worked in general management for a private company and then went to get my MBA from New York University a couple of years later.
Okay. So you did an active duty stint and then you went to business school. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. And you're really dropping a lot of good nuggets here that I just want to highlight. And one of them is the fact that you can get a lot of meaningful and useful experience by, serving in the armed forces. I mean, I think a lot of people maybe overlook that from time to time as a training ground for what you're going to do afterwards. So that's also good to know.
Yeah. Armed services is an outstanding experience. Because like you said, you get an opportunity to do things at a younger age, have a lot of responsibility, learn things, learn how to get along with people, learn how to lead. So I highly recommend it. Sometimes it's not easy, but sometimes we need that.
Yeah. Yeah. And my dad was career military. So, certainly I'm appreciative of that. Of the value of a military career and the experience. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, then, what do you, in addition to being an author, obviously, what are you currently doing now, in terms of, you know, work and projects and things like that?
Currently, I work as an outsourced CFO, and I'm president of my company, Small Business Like a Pro, where we help entrepreneurs and business owners be able to more effectively grow their revenues, increase profits, and obtain financing.
And where did the idea come from to start your own business in that space?
Well, it's kind of an evolution. After business school, I went and was an executive at New York Life for about 8 years, where I worked in financial management and investments, as well as got an opportunity to work in a few other areas of the company. So learned a lot there, got my CFA there, and then had an opportunity to go be the chief operating officer of the Executive Leadership Council, which is a nonprofit trade organization that represents the most senior African Americans in corporate America. So great learning experience there, a little different going from the for-profit to nonprofit. So got a chance to do that. And, you know, after, you know, the nonprofit, you know, I'm more of a for-profit guy than a nonprofit guy that I learned. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, that when I left the Executive Leadership Council, had to make a decision of whether I was going to go back to corporate or, you know, have my own business. And, right. You know, really always wanted to have my own business, as well as I'd invested in real estate, and it was during the real estate crisis. So I kind of needed more time to work on my real estate as well. So both of those things sort of led me down the entrepreneurial path, and to be able to use my skills more effectively for business owners. So to bring more of what I can bring to the table, because, you know, I was good at and had experience in most areas of business, and most people are only good and focused in one area. So I was able to sort of bring that to the table for business owners. You know, it's not easy. So I went through many iterations, and my business has changed a lot, you know, every few years, but it's continued to grow and develop and build, and excited about the future.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that comes, you know, you're, and you know, you said you've gone through several iterations of what you're doing, and, you know, that's not uncommon either, I imagine. And, I just want to say that your passion for what you're doing now, the running your business like a pro, comes through in the book, which, you know, we'll get to the, discussing the book in a moment. But I just wanted to, you know, follow up a little bit on, you know, how exactly, or, you know, maybe not exactly, but how do you find your lane when you are, in fact, you know, able to do a lot of different things, and you may have a lot of different interests. How do you, other than say trial and error, how do you really kind of find the lane that you think you'll be most effective in business?
Actually, that's a great question, and there is a decent amount of trial and error there, because not only do you have to figure out what you're good at, but you have to figure out what the market needs. And be able, and so it takes a little while to figure that out. So, you know, early on, I always talk to entrepreneurs and business owners about there's really three key things that you need to focus on. And one of them is you can't sell to everybody. So you got to narrow down your target market and make sure your product and value proposition are, you know, who they're focused on, and make sure that they, you know, there's the right fit. You know, second thing is you can't overpay for marketing. So, you know, early on, you're going to change your products, your services, everything about your business is going to change over the first few years, and maybe multiple times. So you have to be prepared for that. And then the third is making friends. You know, your network becomes your net worth. And that's how you learn, you know, who needs what, where the market is, how to connect with the right people to get business, how to learn how to sell, because many people who have businesses never learned how to sell or market. And selling and marketing is your most important job. So if you can't do that right, you're never going to be successful, or it's very unlikely that you're going to be successful, and you definitely won't be nearly as successful as you could be.
Right. Yeah, that's the lifeblood of any successful business. But I want to touch on something you just said that came up in a conversation I just had with a friend of mine. By training, I'm an attorney, mm-hmm. and I actually appeared on a friend of mine show who is also an attorney. He's a criminal defense attorney, and we had a debate about that. Really, about the first point you brought up, that you can't sell to everybody. So we were talking about when you're first starting out, and his position was that, you know, when you're first starting out, you have to take every single case that comes through the door. And I was of the mind, I think sort of like you, that you can't sell to everybody because, you know, you run the risk of diluting your brand and overextending yourself. And, you know, you also, most importantly, you really run the risk of reputational damage. So I just wanted to get an idea of when you say you can't sell to everybody in a general business sense, you know, how do you really evaluate, you know, who you should be selling to? How do you, you know, who you're going to do business with?
Actually, you're right on both cases. You're both right and both wrong. So, well, both of you have half of it. So you know, whoever wants to buy from you, you usually want to sell to them if it makes sense, if you can deliver on it. But you don't want to market and put forth your time, effort, and focus on trying to sell to everybody. So, you know, maybe you're a patent attorney. So, you know, whenever you market and reach out to people, you talk about being a patent attorney. But if someone wants to pay you to do their will, you don't want to turn away money that's coming your way. But from a branding and a marketing perspective, you want to be consistent. But, you know, even with a lot of my clients, you know, I'm their outsourced CFO, but I end up helping them with marketing. And I'm helping them with what they need. So, yes, you don't.
But you're.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, yes, you don't want to sell to everybody, but, you know, you don't want to turn away business opportunities that could be beneficial for you.
Yeah, and I guess the caveat really there is that you have to be capable of delivering. You don't want to take like, for example, you're an outside CFO, you do some marketing and stuff. I don't know if you would be comfortable doing something for a client that you just have no experience in solely to get some money, because, you know, that the risk is not worth the reward, I would imagine, right?
Well, it depends, because you can always outsource also.
Oh, so yeah.
Just because you bring in the business doesn't mean you have to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point in general business. So, yeah, I guess, you know, from the legal perspective, there are some limitations on your ability to outsource. So, but that's a good point. You can find someone. So, say one of your clients wanted you to handle legal work, for example. You know, you're not a lawyer, but if they're willing to pay you and you can find competent legal, representation, then I guess you can still do that and provide the service to your client.
Right, or you can refer. You know, I do a lot of referring of business to other business owners, and maybe you don't make money immediately, but then you get referrals from other people as well. And then some businesses actually have referral programs where they give you a bonus for referring people. So, as an entrepreneur, you want to solve people's problems, but you don't always have to be the one that solves them. But
right.
You can bring the business, that's the hardest part. It's harder to get business than it is to deliver on the business in many cases.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I guess the lesson there is that to the extent you can provide a service for a client, you do so, even if it's not necessarily you doing it directly.
Correct.
Okay. So, so let's get into, if you don't mind, discussing the book. Like I said, I picked it up a few weeks ago, I think, when we first spoke, mm-hmm. and was able to read through it. And like I said, I found it extremely easy to read, and you know, a good blueprint for anyone who is looking to start their own business. I think it's you know, a lot of times you read articles and books on, you know, the how to do this, how to do that, and it just you know, they just come across a little cold. And so I think often people don't really get the full, you know, the full benefit from reading those types of books. But I mean, in all honesty, I found yours to be a lot different. So what I'd like to, if you could, just kind of discuss some of the, I guess some of the key takeaways, if you can summarize, and I believe there is a summary in there, just like some of the essential points that aspiring business owner, you know, needs to hit on. If you could just run through those, that would be great.
Okay, no, great. You know, writing the book was a labor of love. It took me 5 years, and you know, having worked with over 500 entrepreneurs and business owners one-on-one, I had learned so many things, and you start to see patterns and challenges that business owners have. So one of the biggest things is many business owners don't know key things that they should know. And the first half of my book's dedicated to what you don't know will hurt you. So it talks about key things that every business owner needs to know about. And, you know, explaining them, giving examples of how I've worked with people on them so that, you know, you can be prepared and you can plan for many challenges that you may end up encountering. So in business, there's really two ways that you learn. Either you learn by preparing or you learn by losing money. So which one do you prefer? So that's mm-hmm. the first half of the book. The second half of the book is called This Is How You Do It. And I laid out a small business pro methodology for how to take your business to the next level, where you go from assessing and envisioning for your business to analyzing the information and coming up with recommendations of the best ways to move forward. And then finally, developing and implementing your plan and measuring your progress versus it. So that's a process that business owners can follow to be able to move their business forward in a systematic way and be able to grow.
Yeah. And you know, that, so like anything though, you know, you've laid it out, but the key thing is, you know, I tell my kids all the time, you know, it's one thing to have a plan, and that's an excellent thing, but the most important thing is to act upon the plan, you know. So how do you, from a motivational perspective, because, you know, like I said, you know, people can read your book and people can have the best intention to get going, but from a motivational day-to-day, how do you really get going? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you spent 5 years doing this book, which, you know, a lot of people, that seems like a, you know, something they just couldn't do, to spend 5 years on one labor. So, I mean, what would motivate you to, you know, get up every day and keep going?
Well, I mean, one thing is I'm making a difference, and I can see I'm making a difference in the difference that I want to make. Two, I'm really doing what I love. You know, it took a while, but I'm doing what I love. And, you know, yeah, it took 5 years, but I didn't know it was going to take 5 years when I started. So it just, you know, ended up, you know, you always want your stuff to be really good, and you continually learn through the process. And, you know, writing a book is a significant process. You know, once you finish that process, it's easier to go through it again. But the first time, it there's so many things you want to say, and you got to figure out how to communicate it in a clear, concise way that people can understand.
Yeah. And it's gotta be, I'd imagine, just such a, such a great sense of accomplishment once you're done and you look at it and you're like, wow, this is the, you know, the fruit of my labor. I mean, you know, unfortunately, most jobs don't allow you to actually see what you've accomplished, you know, particularly if you're just doing something, you know, a routine day to day, you may see small accomplishments, but you don't really necessarily get to sit back and always appreciate the big picture of what you've been working towards. And, you know, a book is, I think, exactly, you know, the kind of thing that you can, you know, look back and say, wow, you know, I did this, you know, so that, I think that's real cool.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, I learned so much through the process that I became way better at what I do and took it from just being something that I could do based on my knowledge and experience to being able to really communicate what I do and build tools around it. So I can train other people to use what I've put together to help other business owners as well. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's been a valuable piece of it. And, you know, in the first half of the book, when I talked about what you don't know will hurt you, I talk about all different areas of business also. So, you know, the first chapter is about you and about how did I get here? Because you need to know how you got where you are and where you want to go before you can really figure out the best way to accomplish your goals. And then we talked about the second chapter, which was what's my most important job, and that's marketing and selling. And then each chapter, you know, I've had a chapter on finance, financial management, operations, and actually each of those chapters I'm writing a full book on now. So, So, cause there's so much to learn about each of those, but it gives you a good introduction to things that you need to know as a business owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's wow. So you're going to go back at it and basically, so you're going to keep writing is what I'm hearing.
Yes. I already started, a book on obtaining financing, which should be out, you know, which will be out probably this summer. And then I also have started on my book on marketing and plan to get that book out before Christmas.
Okay. Wow. That's good stuff. And you know, I look forward to definitely seeing those as well. So before we wrap up, I want to just touch on something that's obviously a big topic now, and that's the COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on the business world, in particular small businesses. What do you see as obviously the short term impact is loss of income, but do you see any trends that may stretch out and become a long term or transformational trend where small businesses may never be the same again?
Well, there's definitely going to be quite a few things that are happening as a result. And some good, some not so good for small businesses, but there is going to be a big shakeout because there's just going to be a challenge for many businesses to make it because a lot were barely making it before this. But, you know, one thing you'll see is as people are getting used to going online, they're going to be more comfortable and more used to it. So there's going to be more and more online interaction. Another piece is, I don't think education's ever going to be the same again. And as a result, there's going to be opportunities for smaller businesses and other organizations to be in the education businesses, competing with colleges and other places because they offer a much better value proposition for people. And so, and then, really technology is key. So figuring out how to take advantage of and utilize technology to build your business and increase efficiency is going to be valuable as well.
Yeah, you know, I agree with all of those points. I think we are, you know, we're going to get back to work, obviously, but I think there will be dramatic shifts in the interaction of people in general, and of course, then the interaction of, you know, business and client, business and customer is going to change, I think, going forward. And I do believe, yeah, you're right. I think there is going to be more of an emphasis on some of this remote interaction that you know, that we're forced to do now. What, I mean, you know, maybe this is not a fair question, but what do you think? Obviously no one, at least no one, you know, outside of government could have seen or kind of expected the, you know, the extent of the havoc that's been, you know, wrecked by the virus. But what do you think, if anything, small businesses could have done to be better prepared for this?
I think at the end of the day, it's really about what my book's about. It's about learning how to run your business more professionally, because then it becomes a sustainable enterprise. And, you know, looking to create a sustainable enterprise and grow is key not only to succeed and thrive in good environments, it's even more important in challenging environments, because the better your business is, the better structured it is, the better running it is, the more likely it is that you're going to be successful.
That makes sense. It's almost like, you know, you, to use a athletic analogy, you know, have the fundamentals down and you're able to weather, you know, when things go bad.
Right.
So,
and
yeah,
one thing is, these days, you know, there's a lot of businesses that, you know, are going to be for sale just because owners are aging out, and a lot of them aren't going to get sold. And most businesses never get sold and just close down. And a big reason is they never learned how to create a sustainable business or run their business more professionally. So when the time comes, they really, the business is really them. So they can't sell it, and it's not valuable. So, you know, it's, you know, the better you run it, the more valuable your business is going to be, whether you keep it or sell it.
Yeah, that, you know, that, it seems like a common sense thing, but you're right. I mean, you see so many businesses, and unfortunately, so many businesses in the, you know, the African American community that just go away when the founder goes away.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's a great point. And particularly in these troubling times, there probably will be an uptick of people looking to move on from whatever they were doing. But like you said, if they're not prepared to, you know, present the business as a actual, you know, transactional opportunity, then, you know, good luck with that. You know, they probably just close doors, which is not good for anyone. So that's great. I mean, I think this has been a great conversation. Usually what we do is try to end segments with if you're up to it, giving some, you know, some inspirational words or something, just basically to, you know, inspire our listeners to go ahead and get started on whatever business they have in mind. So if you're up to it, have at it.
Okay. Well, you know, there's a couple things that I always think are great to know. And one of them is the tagline for my business: the more you know, the faster you grow. And it's about, as a business owner, to be successful, you have to be continually learning and knowing more and evolving and building new skills and developing, because you have to make transitions throughout the process. And if you don't, then you're going to get stuck until you can figure out how or prepare yourself to be able to move your business forward. And that's what I do, is I help people figure out where they are, figure out what they need to learn so that they can move their business forward more effectively.
Yeah, that's good. And so on that note, I think we're going to wrap up the segment. Thanks again, Andrew, for being a guest here. And the book is, again, Running Your Small Business Like a Pro: The More You Know, the faster you will grow. And I recommend you know, anyone thinking of, you know, getting a small business going or becoming an entrepreneur to pick up the book and read it, because I, you know, I think it's definitely will definitely be beneficial to you. So thanks again, Andrew. And that's the show.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Flamondo, for having me.